Hello and welcome to the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Second time in a year, Taliban entered to northern Afghan city of Kunduz, terrorized its inhabitants, destroyed law and order in the city, which is located only a few hundred kilometers away from Tajikistan's border. In a similar offensive last year, militants held the city for days until it is rescued with the help of foreign forces, resulting a bloody hospital bombing, which is consequences still being discussed. Details are few, but as we speak, markets shut, electricity and water supplies cut off from last 3 days. As one local resident says, situation remains chaotic and the city is in crisis. In this episode of Majlis, our weekly Central Asia podcast, we will discuss the pending crisis on the stepdoor of Central Asia, its possible implications for Afghanistan in the region. To discuss the subject, I have Kamal Safi, a parliamentarian from Kunduz who is participating from Afghanistan. Mr. Safi, welcome to the Majlis.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to have you, Kamal Safi. Also joining us, Mohammed Omar Safi, who is former governor of Kunduz. He is currently abroad. Mr. Omar Safi, welcome to the Majlis.
Thanks a lot.
From Washington, D.C., Barmak Pajwak is joining us, who is the senior Afghanistan program officer at the United States Institute of Peace. Mr. Pajwak, welcome to the Majlis.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you. From Prague, I have Bruce Panier, who is editor of Kishlak Awazi, Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Bruce, welcome to the Majlis.
Thank you much.
Very nice to have you, gentlemen, in the Majlis. Let's start with you, Kamal Safi. What is the latest from Kunduz?
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me to Majlis. The present situation in Kunduz is that apart from few buildings like the governor house, the police chief office, and the NDS of provincial office, and the airport, the rest of the city is still with the Taliban, and they are resisting the offenses of the security forces, and the city is in extremely bad condition. There is no electricity, there is no water, there is no food. Particularly, all the food shops are closed and the people don't have access to this facility. And if any bread particularly is available in some parts of the city, the cost, the rates are five times high, and the school are closed. There is no life signs in the city, and our people are in big misery. They are stuck in their houses. Those who could flee the city, they have already left. And those who cannot survive to leave the city are still stuck in bad conditions and in their houses.
How is the fighting around? Is it still continuing?
You cannot mention specific words about fighting because it's, in a sense, forth and back play between the two forces, the Taliban and the security forces. And there is no fixed war lines in the city. Sometimes it is in one corner, sometimes it is in another corner. But most of the streets are a kind of witness of the war. And people are also not particularly not happy with the airstrikes, with the unprofessional airstrikes of the security forces. And I also just recently received the news that one of the local police commander was fighting in the favor of the security forces, his house bombarded by the national air forces, and it's destroyed fully. And I also heard that his family members lost their lives, and it's not confirmed yet by the government official, and this is the situation.
The air force, you said, that are operating, are they Afghan security forces or foreigners also involved in that?
Both of them are launching their airstrikes, but so far as the national air force strikes are concerned, they are not striking it with properly and professionally.
Where are the local leadership, Mr. Safi?
So far as the leadership is concerned, the governor, Umar Khail, is sitting continuously in his office, is not ready to go outside of his office, and his office is in a sense is controlled by or protected by a few tanks and some helicopters from the air. And Murad Ali Murad, who is the chief commander of this fight from central government, he is in the airport, and the India's chief is in his own office, and particularly one guy, commander assistant chief of police Masoom, he usually used to go to the front lines of the war and go here and there, and police regional officer Kamawal, he is also in his office, which is located in the airport. So, and we don't see any proper coordination among them. We don't see any proper meetings and sitting among them. And we don't see any proper communication among them. They are in their own places. They are in their own entities and doing as per their own thinking and as per their own plans and programs.
Mr. Omar Sapi, when Kunduz faced a similar situation last time, you were around as a governor, I believe, right?
Yes.
What is your information about the way the authorities are handling this situation this time around?
Yeah, as Mr. Kamal Safi has explained very well about the situation, as he is very much updated, very active parliamentarian from Kunduz. Let me discuss something, similar, but from another angle. See, the Kunduz, nobody actually has think about the real cause of what is going on. If you look even in the previous fall, and then if you compare the existing fall, which is almost fall because a very limited area is under government control. Both fall is showing that there is no coordination and there is no interest from the government security forces side to fight against the enemy. Look at the casualties. My latest information was that the whole fall, whole advancement of Taliban, everything caused only one or two dead of the government forces. So now, as a government, security officer, is it worth that one dead body should cause to leave the whole important strategic places to the enemies? I don't think that's the right decision. So the problem, the major causes, actually, we have to discuss on that. The basic thing in Kunduz is the illegal armed men in Kunduz, which is, through their existence, undermining the rule of the good governance in Kunduz.
Mr. Sapi, we will definitely talk about that aspect. But again, the guys with the guns in the town today are the Taliban, not the local militia that you are referring to. But talking about the way authorities are responding to that, what is your opinion on this, the way they are handling it?
When we are talking to the, responsibility of the authority, again, this comes to who the authority are, who the authority are reporting. This is very important. Most of the district police officer, most of the police employees are those who have been there for the last 15 years. So they have their own connection. They have their own links to through the government. They don't care what the governor is saying to them. That is, as the Kamal has explained about the lack of coordination, because they don't feel any kind of disciplinary action to be given by the governor, because governor is appointed by the President Ghani, and majority of these are appointed from the different part, which is Abdullah. So the problem is no proper or no clear intention behind, political intention behind Kunduz problems. So that's why there will be no peace and stability as long as there is no proper political intention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Safi. Bruce, this time Tajikistan seems taking some extra precautions. I heard their border guards are on the high alert. How the conflict in Kunduz seen from the across the border?
You're right. They did. The Tajik border troops went on full alert as soon as the fighting started breaking out in Kunduz. They also moved up some of their regular military forces into a line behind the border guards just in case. And then, of course, we had the head of the Russian Security Council, Nikolai Petrushev, mm-hmm. came to, we assume, look at the situation personally and probably give some reassurances to the Tajiks that that Russia would help out if needed. After this happened last year, things didn't get so bad that there were a lot of problems with the in Tajikistan, actually. So I have a feeling that Petrushev's visit was probably more just to get a feel for the situation and see how the Tajik side was reacting to it at the moment. But clearly they're taking it seriously. It's not that far away. They've had border skirmishes that have come up, within visual range of the border. So. In the past, so they're definitely on alert and watching, and I'm sure trying to get as much information from the Kunduz area as they possibly can.
Right. Mr. Peshwak, what's the discussion in Washington about the ongoing situation in Kunduz? So far, I have not seen much of the coverage on the national press about what's going on there.
Well, unfortunately, what is happening in Kunduz is coinciding with the Brussels conference on Afghanistan in Belgium. So some of the American policymakers who are dealing with Afghanistan, including Secretary Kerry, are there in Brussels. And I think they talked about the situation in Afghanistan there. Mm-hmm. The Afghan president and the most members of the cabinets are also there. So I think there was some news about the Brussels conference, but I think despite the fact that American special forces are involved in the fight in Kunduz, there hasn't been much of a reflection on the situation in Kunduz in American press.
Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Peshwak. Mr. Kamal Safi, going back to details in Kunduz, last year, almost in the same days, Taliban had briefly captured the city. How different were their offensive in strategy at this time around compared to last year?
Actually, there is not that much difference, because last year they launched a massive offensive in midnight, almost close to 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and this year what's the same happened in the same way. But there is definitely difference between last year and this year, because last year the security forces were less than this year in number, were not well equipped comparing to this year, were not well aware of the situation as this year. And last year there was not that much the support from the Sultan government, with particularly with Umar Safi, was not as per the ground requirements or realities. And this is what Mr. Safi will also concrete, if I am not wrong, that Safi many times claimed that the central government is not giving that much importance to the issues in North. And last year, there was a lot of clashes and differences and problems with the central government between Dr. Abdullah and between Ghani, and they were much busy in their own internal issues and problems. So there are quite differences between last year and this year. So far as the attack from the militants or Taliban are concerned, they did in the same way, almost in the same way.
Mr. Umar Safi, do you want to add anything? Your name was mentioned several times by Kamal Safi.
Last time, the situation was quite different. That time, it was first time for Taliban to come to Kunduz. They had no much experience to how to capture Kunduz city. In the our side, the government side, was also not very well prepared for such kind of offensive attack. Our forces were quite less than in compared to now, because that time we had only one regiment in Kunduz, but right now we have a battalion in Kunduz. There are three battalions from border police battalion, ANA battalion, and the regional police zone are there. So, and also the ANCO battalion is now there. So there are almost around 18,000 troops in Kunduz province, while this number was only 6,000 in previous time. And the other reason was that there was similar attack last year, you know, to capture Kunduz, but they were failed because I was there and there was a proper coordination. So the attack happened when I was away, and the third attack happened when I was away, and then it caused to fall the Kunduz city. Again, as I said before, the major issue is, again, passive and the corrupt police and security officer in Kunduz. You see, after the fall of Kunduz, President Ghani has approved 550 million Afghani to Kunduz city only to make a security belt for Kunduz. And this belt was actually designed during my time to be built, and I already prepared the design. And this was a design that was also, I copied some part from the Dr. Najibullah times, which was fallen at that time. Again, Kunduz was also fallen during Mujahideen time. And then he succeeded to secure Kunduz city through that plan. So actually, this money was all lost, you know, misused, and they were not used for a proper. It was supposed to, you know, in that plan that they should have made 17 strong security bases around Kunduz city. But unfortunately, nothing has made, and this $550 million Afghani was lost. You know, I don't know what happened to that. And also, I believe some of the police and some of the government official may also knows the benefit, you know, of falling of Kunduz city, because last time there was a lot of fund, a lot of money, a lot of assistance was made, and all was misused. So maybe this could be also a kind of intention to again to flow these kind of assistance to Kunduz and go again to the pockets of the corrupt officials. Mm. I believe, you know, lack of sense and lack of intention, and then corruption is the only cause of this Kunduz fall. Because, see, if we would have at least 20 casualty, if we would have a senior police or a senior ANA got killed in the attack, then we could imagine that maybe morally the police and the ANA was affected and they just tactically made evacuation. But you see, there is nothing. Nobody got killed. Nobody got wounded. No casualty. Nothing happened. Ammunition was there. Airport was still active. And our supply, everything is there, food. And so how can they leave there? And I was very much shocked when I was watching a video clip of Taliban interviewing the Kawakhana checkpoint. This was a 2 kilometer away from the governor office. You know, the police guy who was interviewed by Taliban while they were arrested, and they were asked, why you surrender to Taliban? They said, we didn't receive support. We finish our ammunition. If we would have ammunition, we would fight. Look at the braveness of this poor police officer. But since there is no care from their senior police, you know, these people were, you know, leave abandoned there and without ammunition. And they were arrested, and they still say in front of the Taliban that we didn't have ammunition.
Mr. Kamal Safi, you are in Kabul, constantly in discussion with the authorities. How they explain the allegations that we are listening from Omar Safi, that there is not a proper support by the central government to local authorities?
Yes, I fully agree with the ex-governor, Mr. Safi, explaining the fall when he was in power and when, unfortunately, when he was on leave with his family. I fully agree with his concern and the factor he mentioned. But so far as this time is concerned, the central government has supported the local government a lot. For example, the central government increased the number of police, number of national army, and they also granted lots of funds, and they also authorized them in a sense, fully authorized them. And you know that His Excellency President Ghani visited Kunduz twice. And in last 1 year, I think Kunduz is the only one province across the country visited by high senior official like Minister of Interior, Minister of Defense, NDS chief, different generals, different commanders, and high authority officials. And they morally supported the local authorities a lot. But I would also like to concrete Safi statement on the corruption, particularly the moral corruption amongst the different security forces. For example, few of them sell ammunition to the Taliban, leak very important information to the Taliban, and they also sometimes make deals over the particular important strategic check posts leading to the city. One more thing I would like to mention here is very important, that when last year Taliban captured the city, only Governor Safi affected, and he ran out of the power, and anybody else, particularly the military part, who should be held accountable for that, nobody asked them. And this is because of the political differences, this double-headed government. This is what happened because of that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kamal Safi. Just to recap the debate today in the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, we are discussing situation in northern Afghan province of Kunduz. Discussing the subject with me are from Afghanistan, Kamal Safi, member of the Afghan Parliament from Kunduz, Mohammed Omar Safi, who is the former governor of Kunduz, Barmak Pajwak, a senior program officer at the United States Institute of Peace, Bruce Panier, the editor of Kishlak Awazi, Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Majlis. So let us talk a little bit about Kunduz from Taliban's perspective. Yes, we understand various causes behind the lack of moral of the soldiers to resist against the militants. So talking about the Taliban's perspective, why it is so important for them? I see Kunduz's neighbors like Samangan having no serious challenge. Tahar relatively doing better compared to Kunduz. What's reason of the Taliban's focus on Kunduz? Who would like to take this question? Mr. Omar Safi?
Yes. See, there are a few reasons that Taliban prefer this. Considering their previous long history of Taliban's support from the same area and their familiarity with the geography, and most importantly is their recent ties with the Russian, you know, to keep this as a buffer zone for Russian to prevent ISIS infiltration to a former Russian state like Tajikistan, which is the most vulnerable, and Uzbekistan and some other. So
clarify this. You are saying that the reason why Taliban is focused in Kunduz is because of their connection to Russia?
Exactly. They have now very good ties with the Russians, and the areas that the Russians are very much concerned are the Tajikistan and Turkmenistan. That's why there is serious problems in Faryab in Badghiz, and also serious problem in Badakhshan and Kunduz, because these are the places where Russians are interested to strengthen Taliban through which they could stop infiltration of the ISIS to the other side. The Russians are also suspicious about the American and the local our central government intention about this. I was even interrogated and told several times that there is no intention from the government time when I was the governor by some Russian officials. So they are really concerned, and you might have heard their the Russian ambassador statement as well several times in the media. But also there are some other things as well. You know, as I previously said, that illegal armed groups and also Kunduz very famous as a center of the factionalism, warlordism, and racism in the area, in the north. So that's also one of the causes that most of the warlords try to keep themselves stronger there and have continuous contact with different big international players. And the drug in other activity that is going on, you know, it's also another thing. If you see the Helmand, and then from Helmand to Maidan Wadag, and then Baghlan, the whole roads, you know, Bamiyan and all the Talao Barfak and this Ghorband and this, the roots of the drug mafia. If you see this roads is also highly insecure roads, you know, and because the drug mafia also wants to have problems in the area, you know, to weaken the security situation, and that's why they want to have their own businesses also in this kind of situation.
Interesting, Governor Safi. Who wants to take this question? I mean, Bruce, maybe you. Do you agree with Mr. Safi's argument that the Taliban has increased presence in the bordering areas of Afghanistan might be as a result of their alignment with Russia?
I don't know if I'd go so far as to agree. I don't have as many facts as Mr. Omar Safi does, so it would be harder for me to say. But I do know from Tajik media that they have reported that last year Russian officials flew local Taliban commanders to one of the military bases used by the 201st Russian Division in Tajikistan for talks. And that there was a feeling that, or some of the information kind of gave you the impression that the Russians had been speaking to them about countering ISIS in northern Afghanistan. And I've heard other Afghan officials talk about this too, that they thought that some of the resistance the Taliban was able to show to government forces was due to the fact that, according to these Afghan officials, that the Russians had actually even given weapons to some of these Taliban groups. And that's why they were able to hold out in some of these northern districts so well against the government forces, even when government forces had air support.
Where this information is coming from, Bruce?
That was from Tajik media, actually. That was Asia Plus was one of the, and that's an independent media outlet in Tajikistan. But other media outlets picked up the same story that were more toward the government side too. And of course, Tajik officials were very upset about this because they weren't informed or present, obviously, at these meetings. I believe it was the Russian ambassador in Kabul who confirmed that, in fact, yes, they had met with Taliban and they had met with them on Tajik territory, technically, Russia's military bases in Tajikistan, and that the Tajik government had been excluded from these meetings.
Mr. Pajwak, we are talking about some interesting situation here. Like on one hand, in Helmand, for instance, the Taliban is advancing and fighting against the authorities in Kabul. On the other hand, we are hearing this allegation from at least two of our panelists that the Taliban might be in contact or might be even supported by the Russians. What is your take?
Thank you for the question. I have heard the same news or information as Mr. Bruce Panier said, that there are not a substantive basis to confirm those reports. But
the situation in Kunduz cannot be studied in isolation from the situation elsewhere in Afghanistan. While there are external elements involved in the conflict, I think we should also consider that Kunduz, unfortunately, is practically a divided province. It is divided among a few power brokers, warlords, and a patronage system that could be traced all the way to Kabul. Mr. Safi, the former governor, alluded to some of those issues in his discussion today. But I think those elements of the conflict in Kunduz, those could be seen as the main drivers of conflict in Kunduz. A crisis of governance in Kunduz happened last year, and that continues to be holding true to this date. I think the lack of coordination that Mr. Safi, the MP, the Member of Parliament, referred to is very, very critical in the fight in Kunduz. The Afghan government hasn't been able to establish a control and command structure for this war in Kunduz that is unified and that is well coordinated among the different security forces of the country. So unfortunately, while there are external elements that we can talk about them, but the main causes for the for the situation. Kunduz is a lack of, it's a crisis of governance and the lack of a coordinated command and control structure.
Obviously, we were talking about the external elements in the light of why Taliban is so effective and focused to Kunduz, where the Russian connection came up. We are talking about without any very clear evidence of such connection, if it exists. But if Russia is involved in some sort of connection with the Taliban, the enemy of the central government in Afghanistan, why authorities in Kabul are not coming forward in talking about this, in reacting to this, Mr. Omar Safi, because this comment come from you initially?
Yes. What I believe is, you see, the whole story since almost 10 months, it's you know, whispering amongst the Afghans. Everybody, when they see the local perception is that at this time is that the ISIS are trying very much to go to the border of former Russian states, and they are trying to infiltrate to the Russian former states. What I believe is that Russia never wants to support Taliban in a level to collapse the Afghan. This is the existing, I think, stand of the Russian, I believe, just to keep everything in a surviving mode, which could be a kind of very good buffer zone. When I was in Kunduz, I saw that there was very prominent member of Taliban who just announced their alliance with the ISIS were immediately removed from their post. You know, example was the Jundullah party, which was removed from Baghlan and Kunduz, and they escaped from these places. Most of them were disarmed at that time. May 2015, we were witness of some Chechens and some Uzbek Mujahideen and the Tajik. But after that, when the ISIS, you know, announced their presence, they immediately were removed from the Taliban. So looks like that they have, you know, some sort of agreement with the Russians. And you have seen the good example was that Mullah Mansour's case, who was coming from Iran, you know, a very close ally of the Russian. So, and a country which has very broad experience of supporting such kind of guerrillas forces, like during jihad time, Iran was one of the host country who was helping and training and supporting the Mujahideen for the to fight against the Russia. They have experience. They might do this time for the Russian.
I mean, Mr. Omar Saab, it still looks like just your opinion without any substantial evidence of this connection. But my confusion here is, if there is an existing connection between Taliban and Russia, how to explain the idle situation of Afghan government, why they are not coming up openly reacting against this?
I don't know. One of the reason I believe could be the existing situation of the Afghan government. Afghan government has a very fragile situation inside themselves. They are not good amongst themselves, political issues, problems amongst their self. And also they have a very active situation with the Pakistans right now. And they may not want to have problem with the Russian and Iran as well, because anything they would say, they have to say with both, you know, because in Helmand also in most cases they have seen Iranian mines and Iranian bombs with the Taliban. I believe the Afghanistan government current internal problem and their weaknesses could cause not to raise their voice. And also I think the other issue is, if we think only just from the military point of view, see, the Kunduz is around 800 kilometers away from the logistic bases of the Taliban, which is maybe Quetta or southern Afghanistan or Waziristan. But how can this fight, you know, these kind of ammunition and all these things, you know, could be provided for the Taliban? So it looks like they have some kind of internal arrangement or some arrangement from the nearby location, which could be Tajikistan and other places. I was doing a risk assessment 3-4 months on Kunduz. In one of my research model, I was told clearly by some of the Arbakis that they have seen some huge ammunition, you know, ships coming from the Tajik side to the Taliban side to distribute. They were saying that they were the ammunition they have seen by their eyes, you know, the local, you know, Arbakis.
Okay, Mr. Kamal Safi, what is your information about the allegations that we are talking about? That is theoretical at the moment. So do you know any connection between Russia, the cross-border elements in the Kunduz side?
You know that Kunduz has a long border with the Central Asia states. And we also know that the regional interest have been changed, and there is a lot. We are the witness of a lot of changes in the whole region, and our eastern region, and our eastern part, western part, north and south. And we also know that Taliban have, in a sense, international community supports, particularly from our neighbors, not only from the Russian states, from others as well. We also cannot deny that some of local commanders, not, apart from the Taliban, have frequent visits of the Central Asia states, and there are changes in the policies and changes in the interests. And on the other hand, Kunduz is also extremely important location for the whole north as well. It's a key point to the right side and to the left side of the north. Another factor I would like to mention is that Kunduz is an easy food in terms of destabilizing or creating a headache for the central government, in a sense that there are a lot of illegal armed militia, military groups, and a lot of warlords, and it's a drug route to the Central Asia and then to the Eastern Europe, then to the Western Europe as well. Kunduz is known as a small Afghanistan, in a sense that all tribes who live in Afghanistan live in Kunduz as well, from the all small tribes, big tribes. So these are the factors causing easily and quickly destabilization are affecting the peace. So that's why I think Taliban has preferred Kunduz.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kamal Safi, member of the Afghan parliament, for your insightful comments. Here I should say that the Taliban are not only strong in Kunduz or some other parts of the northern Afghan provinces bordering former Soviet Union, they are also advancing in several fronts in Helmand province, which has no border connection to Central Asia. So with all the respect to the opinions of our panelists behind Taliban's possible advance in northern Afghanistan and on their possible connection to Russia, it seems that the situation has lots of confusing elements without any concrete answer or clear evidence leading to any specific direction. With this, I think it is time to end our debate. Thank you very much, Mr. Kamal Safi, Member of Parliament from Kunduz, for taking time to be part of our discussion today, despite all the unpleasant developments surrounding your hometown of Kunduz. Also, big thanks goes to Mohammed Omar Safi, former governor of Kunduz, Barmak Pejuak, the senior program officer at the United States Institute of Peace, Bruce Panier, the editor of Kishlak Awazi, Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Thank you, gentlemen, for your participation in today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Until next week, bye-bye.